Welcome into a weekend edition of Wager Watch. I'm Doug Kazarian. So the Cavs and the Mavs make it a series. Can the Nuggets and Pacers do the same tonight? I'd love some props in those games. In fact, I'm breaking out the hammer. We'll look into that. Also look ahead to the weekend. Brian's in the house. Come join us.
All right, Dougie. More association action. We got the courtside cover. The Knicks at the... First of all, the Knicks. You got Stephen A. Smith is like, he's dancing in the streets right now.
But this series ain't over.
It's not over?
I don't.
Okay, we shall see. Because game number three, finally going back to Indianapolis. The Pacers, -7 for this game. I don't know, Hoosier Land, I think they probably should be happy about this because zigzag theory, they're going to come
right
back and play.
The old zigzag theory, and those new to the program, we'll revisit it. It's an old betting sort of tool, like, guide if a home team or the favorite is off a loss. In this case, the home team is the favorite.
Yeah.
But off the loss, you should almost blindly bet it. And there's also an old adage just outside of play NBA playoffs, like, because the zigzag's about the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
There's when a focused favorite is like the best thing to bet on because the metrics have it at whatever the line is. But if you get the better team focused, then it could be
lights out.
So I will say the Pacers are the right side. Now, there's been an increase in this. So this was like 5, 5.5. It got up to 7.5. Come down to 7.
Okay.
The issue is we're not sure Jalen Brunson's 100% healthy.
And yes.
Probably he's not 100% healthy, but just how close to 100% is the question. But really, OG Anunoby leaving the game into with a hamstring injury, probably not going to suit up. Hamstrings are no joke. And they're already thin. Tibbs runs these guys into the ground. So, and they're down Randall already. They're down Mitchell Robinson. So they're real thin on the front line. Bogdanovich is also out. So we're going to see some Alec Burks, who's barely played in the last game. And I don't know who else plays. So this has all the making. Rick Carlisle criticizing the refs in the small market. Some were saying Rick Carlisle.
I don't know. Okay. All right.
So I just think the ebb and flow of these things, this has absolute blowout written all up because the Pacers beat you in waves. They have like, they press, you know, they're really trying to speed up the game and they have their bench at edge is fantastic. So the fact that like the starters for the Knicks are nicked up, I think this has beat down written all up.
All right. So with it being seven, you would go with seven. With it being seven, do you almost think that it almost should be, like 8.5?
Well, you know, it's funny. Yes. I think that's a great point because the market is shaped by the math guys.
Yeah.
And they can't help themselves. Like, their math model might say the line should be 5.5, 6. And they know about zigzag theory.
Of course.
They know about injuries. But they literally, like, can't accept that this line could be a blowout.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but the first time out, number could be 10.5. Like, Pacers are up 6, you know, 14-8, timeout.
Yep.
So, like, I think of it like that, whereas the math guys just look at the distribution of a bell curve and all this.
Oh,
so they're keeping it, the buyback. Like, they're the ones who probably took 7.5 because of their models, and the bookmakers and odds makers only kind of respond to them.
Yeah.
So I think there's money to be had in this game. So it's a great point, like, why this line doesn't even keep going higher. It's because the math guys are keeping it that way.
Okay. And I would think for a guy like you with this game, with all the zigzag and the injuries and everything else, you have to be going bananas on props, like either like first half and second half and all kinds of stuff.
So I think the Knicks might hang around. So as much as the Pacers are going to jolt, you think, to start strong, their edge is like second, the first part of the second quarter thing. I just think lay it. I think it's a double-digit win. Like, I don't want to mess around or get too cute. Other times, I'm willing to kind of pick apart angles for the props.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get too cute. Now, player props have been interesting. Jalen Brunson's like, to me, who like nerds out on this stuff, I think it's fascinating. Last round, he was 29.5. It went up to 31.5, then 34.5. And then he had 4 or 5 straight games that live at least 39. So his prop for the last game was 35.5, I think, or 37.5, or something ridiculous.
That's absurd.
But it's the Pacers' defense. I mean, it's incredible. And he gets hurt and almost got there. So he missed the entire second quarter. So I think with this prop for the game three, given he's banged up, it's 35.5.
Jalen Brunson,
I think you have
to have a 30-foot.
But the Pacers just give up points. And he's the only guy. And he gets to his spot, makes everything, makes his free throws, unlike Siakam. And and I think Halliburton's also a fascinating case. He had 6 points in game one.
Yeah, he was
his prop was 17.5, moved to 16.5 for game two. I think he had 23 in the first half, had a big game.
Yeah, like 13 in the first quarter.
Right, so he props now up to 19.5. What do you do? I think over is the only way you play now. I think he was internalized, like you have to score,
yeah,
take more threes, but still be a distributor.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking blowout, maybe there's some rest and that bench is great. So I would look into some of the bench players overs because I think they're going to get that.
Yeah.
Like any McConnell.
I was going to say anyone in particular. McConnell's a guy who, yeah.
Guys like that.
Okay. Okay. Man, that's a good courtside cover as far as a lot of information that we covered.
I think this is a throwaway game for the Knicks. I really do.
Okay. And try to get right for game four. And that's the one that they need to win in order to take a stranglehold on the series.
You got it.
All right. All right, Dougie, you've got a marquee matchup here with the Nuggets, the defending champions, taking on the Timberwolves, who have Michael Jordan on their team. I don't know if you know that.
Apparently, yeah.
Man, Edwards is the man right now. His team is the team right now, -4.5, going back home up 2-0 with the Nuggets in this one. I think, personally, they're hot, man. They're on fire.
So you think it's done?
I'll wait till Friday.
Yeah, I'll tell you after Friday. I'm in the same boat. There's no chance in hell I would bet Denver right now.
Yeah.
Meaning, really what that means is there's no chance in hell I would bet against Minnesota.
Yeah.
6-0 straight up to start these playoffs. 6-0 against the number. One last game without Rudy Gobert. They are...
Handily.
This team last year gave Denver its toughest series without Naz Reid and without McDaniels.
Right.
And I said toughest because that's what the Nuggets players said.
Yeah.
And then you got Jamal Murray limping around. He's not right. And Jokic can only do so much when you have all these bigs you throw at him. And I respect the champion. I think 3 days off, I think Murray's going to be better.
Can't be worse.
And Minnesota's, like, I love everything about him. I love their coach. I love Anthony Edwards. I love their depth. Their defense is just relentless.
They're playing AAU college D, man.
Can you imagine trying to get past, like, McDaniels, and you get past him, and it's like, oh, now there's Gobert. Oh, now, yeah, it's just like,
oh, there's Reed.
Yeah, yeah, it's just nuts. And there's such a swag. And really, Edwards taking the leap, so to speak, becoming, like, an all-NBA first-team type of player, MVP type. So I'm sort of, like, leaning to the T-Wolves, but yeah. I do respect the desperation, the champion, all that stuff. And there's got to be some complacency, you would think.
You would think.
And to be honest, like, Minnesota in the last round did sort of, like, the game was close for most of the game in game three when they were up. They were on the road in game
three. Yes.
So I didn't
have Gobert.
I'm leaning T-Wolves.
Yeah, okay, just a lean, huh?
Just a lean. I'll be ready to go double fist at the counter if they win game three, but I'm hoping Denver wins because I have the T-Wolves in six +500.
All right, so you have the T-Wolves in six, but right now the T-Wolves are crazy odds on favorite to win this thing, -525. Denver now +400. How does that look?
I could understand someone wanting to bet it,
yeah,
but you really have to take a step away. Like, if you were in a cave for years and you came out and you watched the first two games,
yeah.
Like, there's no reason to think that Denver's going to win for the next five games.
Yeah.
There's just not. So I could understand someone saying, hey, you win game three as a 4.5-point dog, everything changes. Everything changes.
Yeah.
The pressure is completely on Minnesota in game four, and they're young. Now, this team plays with the swagger. They don't play young. I get it. But they still have Jokic, and they still have Murray, I think, off a little bit extra rest. And game one, honestly, was super tight, and then Naz Reid hit the bank three.
Yeah.
And things change. Like, game one now.
Could have went either way,
all things considered. So I think we're going to see a really smooth, solid, strong performance from Denver. Now, whether that's good enough is the question. I would not bet +1,500.
I was just going
to win it all. But I would not lay the -525 on Minnesota. I don't think it's free money necessarily.
Okay. And didn't really talk about this at all, but as far as the number, the 204.5,
yeah,
that matter to you at all? I mean,
I think it's going to be right around there. I think this defense is so good. For me, it's under.
Gotcha. Under or nothing. All right. So just the the gangster lean to 4.5.
Yeah, I'm driving.
Yeah, okay. A little Sunday lean, the Cadillac lean, 4.5 to the T-Wolves. And, yeah, you're not even worried about that.
Nah.
Okay, still a great marquee matchup, though.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug, time for me to and you to give props. Who got the props? I always got, like, the old school Black Moon song in my head. Who got the props? You want to hear me rant?
I'm letting you go.
You do that. All right. So you let me go on this series. We have the Nuggets, the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are, they have Michael Jordan on their team. I'm assuming that one of these props involves Michael Jordan.
It does not. If I were to play his points prop, I would play over. It's over or pass. But he's getting so many guys involved. And at some point, Denver's got to change their defense and maybe send the double team. But they could beat you so many other ways, and that's maybe they go, let him beat you, no one else does. So
okay.
Let him go for 35.
Okay.
So I lead the over, but I'm focused on the other superstar in this game, the MVP, Nikola Jokic. Yeah. So the Joker is interesting here, and the market's always interesting. It takes a season-long average, and they tweak. Gobert missed game two.
He did.
Jokic had more production on rebounds. Makes sense, right?
It does.
So I'm going back under on Jokic under 12.5 rebounds. I think he gets 9 or 10. So I think you got a couple to play with. Now, is it exciting to bet this and watch it? No. But you can kind of forget about it. It's a little stressful if he gets like 5 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You're doing the math, but then you forget he sits a few minutes in the second and fourth quarters. And I just think production-wise, the Gobert factor, the odds makers should have this back down to 10.5. So I think 12.5 is a bet. I think.
Uh-oh, you're bringing up the hammer, little hammer time action.
I think it's a very, very, very good bet.
Seen the hammer in a while.
Because look at all the bigs they send at him, right? They have Towns who helps rebounding. Now he'll probably get in foul trouble like he usually does. But then Naz Reid, and even McDaniels comes back to the back line and gets boards. Edwards boards. Like, Jokic, even on offense, sometimes hangs around the three-point line.
Yeah.
And they let Gordon crash on the baseline for alley-oops and stuff. So Jokic is incredible, and if he got 13 rebounds, I wouldn't be stunned. But think about 13 rebounds for a guy who's starting to look tired a little bit.
Yes, he is.
And you know, the phrase that's being thrown around, I don't want to take credit because it's played, but like, this Minnesota defense is the first D to actually speed him up. Usually he's going at his own pace and stuff.
You're right.
And again, he's a perimeter shooter, so if he's tired, he might not. 13 boards is a lot. And the other variable you can do, because Minnesota also guards him in a way where they almost want to let him score and don't let him distribute the ball.
Yeah.
And that's been their blueprint, because Gobert can help on the lob. So Gobert guards Aaron Gordon, and then Jokic does the pick and roll and then crashes and throws the alley-oop from the free throw line.
Gotcha.
But Gobert like tipped one, and he's like so good at it. And so they actually, like, Jokic always struggles with assists against Minnesota. So if his ceiling's like 10 assists, and it's 8.5 or 9,
okay,
is his prop. You can do a combined prop.
Wow.
Rebounds plus assists under 21.5.
Okay.
So I think what you do is you bet the max on the rebounds under.
Yeah.
But you also do the rebounds plus assists, because I think the rebounds is such a good play. And I lean under that it gives you sort of extra buffer. In case he gets 13 rebounds, he's unlikely to also get like 9 and 10 assists.
Gotcha.
So if he's going to have a big game rebounding, it's sometimes on the offensive end with putbacks and things like that. So it just gives you a little bit of sort of flexibility. So I would do the under 21.5 rebounds plus assists. And you have a little wiggle room. But I think this rebounds one, like I said, is a hammer play.
How about this, though? The fact that maybe the Nuggets get blowed out.
That could happen.
And he doesn't get...
That's what happened in game two.
Yeah, I can see that. I really can see that happen. The fact that he doesn't get all the rebounds or assists and everything goes under. So
I think they're just making them work on every possession, both on offense and defense. They're attacking him too. And at some point, sometimes in the second half, I even tweeted this, that he looked like a traffic cone. Like they get around, Edwards gets around, then just goes up, and Jokic doesn't even bother jumping.
Traffic cone.
Yeah, it just, they're going around him, and he's not too worried.
That's the guy who just won but you're right, though. I mean,
like his D is better for passing lanes and some deflections and then maybe a contesting like Gobert's shot. But
he's not a very good defender.
No,
he is traffic cone-esque.
Well, when he's exhausted and it's like Anthony Edwards attacking the rim, he's not going to do anything.
No, of course not.
Right. So he's a traffic cop.
Okay, there you go. All right. So those are good props to have given.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're good.
All right. All right, Doug, a little fast break action here. Thunder and the Mavs. I think we've got ourselves a series right here, right?
Finally. I mean, yeah. Finally in these playoffs.
The Thunder, they actually showed that, you know, they are 15 years old and maybe the – but anyway, the Mavericks, they actually showed a team that maybe what Mark Cuban hoped that they would be once they got Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, the series price opened OKC pick'em and then it moved with the betting action from respected money to like minus 130, 135. So it still wasn't even that significant of a favorite.
Okay.
So a lot was respected. Remember – Mavs going into the series with the Clippers did not have home court, and at the time the Clippers had Kawhi, so and the Mavs were still favored in that series. So there's been a lot of respect with this Dallas team because after adding PJ Washington and Gafford around the trade deadline, they were among the best defenses in the NBA, and then obviously had the 1-2 punch with Kyrie. That's Kyrie has demonstrated this is why teams are willing to ignore the past and take a shot, because when it works, there you can't find that elsewhere.
And Luka's always needed someone to help him out a little bit. I mean, Luka's going to be Luka. Luka's going to Luka. You know what I mean?
Yes, he is.
But they needed someone to kind of help.
Right, they tried the Porzingis thing. You know, so but this is why we know why some teams didn't want Kyrie, but yes. This is why Mark Cuban and company were willing to look the other way and take a chance, because if you get the best version, he's awesome.
There you go. So how about going into game number three? The Thunder, how do they respond?
I like the Thunder in the series. I think they're the better team, and I like them to respond in this game. I really do. I was going to bet in game three whoever lost game two. And I'll take the points gladly. I think Luka's knee is a little shaky, quick turnaround from Thursday night. It has to be, those guys have to score a bunch for them to win, because I believe in the Thunder. Ultimately, their shooting's going to be fine, and they're going to take care of Bulls. The stage isn't too big for them, in my opinion.
And actually, it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Oh, it's the best series this round.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the most even teams that we have in both sides, really.
Huge firepower on both sides. It's different with Dallas. You have the two megastars.
Yeah. Right,
with some talent around that can hit shots. And OKC has SGA at the head of the snake, move maneuvering. And you don't know if it's going to be Jalen Williams. But, like, Jalen Williams is emerging. Like, he's not just a role, like, he's a dude.
Yeah.
Now, he's not Kyrie.
No.
But he's legit. He just, in that system, it sort of restrains him. It reminds me of, and probably a bad comp because I don't think he's going to be an MVP of the league, but it's like when the baby Thunder, like the original Thunder, with those big three, with Harden off the bat. Like, Harden was like a really good player. Now, Jalen Williams isn't a sixth man, but these guys, like, they were too young, but they went to the finals.
Yeah.
So this team has all the pieces, and SGA obviously an MVP runner up, but like they're so deep, they play their bench, they have the coach of the year, like they're awesome, and they're finally getting a chance to show it. So I'll take the points because I don't think Dallas's firepower can hang again.
Okay, and remind me who the number one seed in the West is.
Yeah, exactly, Oklahoma City.
There we go. So all right, nice little fast break action with that one. All right, Dougie, time for a little betting buzz action. We have actually a pretty good baseball game here. The Cubs at the Pirates. And for a lot of people who watch college baseball and watch Major League Baseball, this should be a highly watched game, a highly anticipated game, as Paul Skenes making his Major League debut. Of course, a pitcher who played at LSU, and they I believe they won the College World Series down there, but he was a big-name guy, had a lot of flair to his game.
Yeah, and a big man in himself.
Yeah.
6'6", number one overall pick. And, you know, the worst thing for sports fans is hope. It's so prevalent, and it's giving Pirates fans
hope. Oh.
Right? They once had Garrett Cole, number one overall.
Who?
The guy on the Yankees down that they couldn't afford. He's been lights out. He throws 102, and he could be the fastest throwing big leaguer once he steps on the mound in a big league game. He's been lights out in AAA, and this is just exciting. Like, it's exciting to have a big stud come in and, you know, be a flamethrower.
Okay, let me go on the Brian Salmon Rolodex here. LSU pitchers coming into the league doing pretty well. Gossman.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I covered him, actually, in New Orleans. He played at LSU. How about Nola?
Oh, Aaron Nola went there.
Also went to LSU. Yeah.
Rolodex.
Yeah, pulled it on out there. I mean, pitchers are doing pretty well. I just remember seeing the video of Nola pitching, and he's actually been very good.
He's a big game pitcher, too. I like that about
Absolutely.
Him.
So I think Skeens has some guys he can look up to coming into the MLB from LSU.
So the question is, as they host the Cubs, will he be on a pitch count? Because
yeah.
The Pirates baby their guys. They have a few young pitchers they baby. So that's hard from an odds maker who I spoke to. And he thinks he's projecting this line around Cubs minus 120. So a little bit of road chalk. But it's because we don't know how Skeens is going to face big leaguers. We don't know how many pitches he's going to be. The Pirates offense is terrible anyway. So maybe they should be drafting some hitters as well.
The Cubs.
And my guy, Javier Assad.
Oh, Javier.
On the bump. He's the second coming of Ricky Vaughn.
Ricky Vaughn.
He's got the same glasses. He doesn't, throw.
Call him Wild Thing?
Yeah, no, because he's pinpoint.
Oh, okay.
Guess how many runs are the most he's given up in his 7 starts this season, the most runs he's given up in 1 outing.
In 1 outing?
Yeah. Every pitcher has a bad outing, right?
Okay. I think this is a trick question. 0.
Oh, it absolutely is. 2. So he's given up 2 twice, and then the other 5 starts, 0 or 1.
Okay.
He's lights out, and actually Bleacher Nation did an article, and they said, since the beginning of or middle of June or some date in June last year. And they said, admittedly, it's an arbitrary start date. But just since last June, which is almost a year, best pitcher in all of baseball.
As a reliever?
No, he's a starter. And the Cubs are not asking him to be the best pitcher in all of baseball.
No. But
I looked at, his 150-1 Cy Young odds is not that great. And Joe Girardi said this about him. Because he didn't have, incredible stuff in the minors, he, quote, learned how to pitch then. So he's got 5, maybe 6 pitches. He nibbles, keeps guys off balance, and he's crafty. And not junk, but, he's got the full repertoire and really tough to pick up and a unique delivery, so it's tough to pick up his stuff. And so there's a lot to like with this guy. So I like the Cubs in this game. No offense to Paul Skeets. But maybe, a first five innings under – something like this, because I'm not enamored with the Cubs lineup, and I do think Skeens is legit.
Yeah.
Fastballs are, speed and that kind of miles per
hour.
There's not really a transition here. It's kid just,
yeah.
He's more the Ricky Vaughn kind of mentality. Just throw the heater.
Yeah. So we're talking about Ricky Vaughn, the whole Cubs.
Well, it's the glasses that he looks.
I'm going to say, because, it sounds more like a Maddox guy in a sense.
Correct. Yes. He's off speed, position, motion, and Skeens is the guy that does the gas, but he has the glasses, the black, thick frame glasses.
Which are great.
Yeah. Right. They're still great.
Taking us back thinking about that.
Speaking of great looks, Skeens has a mustache, which is creepy for the most part, but on the mound, I'm okay with it.
I got that. He's got the caterpillar.
Yeah. He's got something like that.
Okay. All right. So Skeens, major league debut, but I mean the Cubs likely.
I'm excited to watch as a baseball fan, but I'm betting the Cubs.
There you go. All right, I like that. That's a good betting buzz.